You're listening to the Fantasy FC podcast,
brought to you by Sky Sports.
Hello and welcome to episode 15, season one of the Fantasy Football Club podcast, otherwise known as Max and Merce's Premier League predictions, featuring me, Max, and Merce. Merce, hello, Merce.
Hello, Max.
We are live on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. What was you doing before that?
What do you mean, what were we doing?
What was you doing?
Well, I was reading your autobiography.
Oh, right.
To the 8 million subscribers to Sky Sports Facebook. It's called How Not to Be a Professional Footballer there. Some of it is slightly potty-mouthed, I would say, Merce, for the children.
Oh, no, it's, no.
It's children. An 18, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Okay, right. So this is the future of technology here, us on Facebook.
It's an iPhone. Would you
Oh. It's a fancy camera.
I was going to say I've got one of them.
Would you like to say hello to the people on Facebook?
Hello, everybody on Facebook, five of you.
Yeah, if you write below the line, OK, we'll read out the stuff below the line if it's broadcastable later on.
Right.
OK, so if you want to add any comments, please make them, sensible and interesting. And if you ask questions, then we'll answer them as well. Do you want to know what's on the podcast today?
Yeah, got it.
Some big football matches in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Our usual Twitter Q&A.
Yeah.
1 to 11 from our studio guest, Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill.
What a job, eh?
He's done amazingly well. To make it a Northern Ireland special, from the archives, we'll put Neil Lennon's in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's good because we did a Rangers one last week to a Celtic one this week because we love them both absolutely equally.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, Facebook people, the 1 to 11s, you won't see because Michael O'Neill hasn't done his yet and we chuck the other one in later. But, you know, you can download the podcast from iTunes and get 8 million on that and then we'll do well, won't we? We'll get a rise, hopefully. Do you want the feedback from last week?
Go on in.
Here are some reviews that we got on iTunes. If you write a review on iTunes, we will read it out. This is from North End Lovell. It says, top 10 podcast.
Wow.
Good, yeah. Fantastic podcast.
Were you in front of that badminton one yet?
I don't know, not yet, no. Sometimes in the charts, it changes. But we're definitely above one of the cycling ones. So that's good. Fantastic podcast that is getting better each week. It has taken Max most of the season, but I think Merce finally likes him.
Yeah, forgot that was on.
Soccer AM's loss, fantasy football's gain, says.
Says Max.
This is from Michael O'Hare,
yeah,
who comes out with the... This is praise. Not bad.
Good words.
The Twitter Q&A is good content and funny. Max is good, better than Fenner's. But in terms of broadcasting, he's no James Richardson. Merce needs to stop eating and drinking when doing the show because it's annoying.
I was thinking after the show as well.
They should keep the 1 to 11s because that's also good content that breaks up the show and keeps it flowing.
Yeah.
Then he says, keep up the good work. This is longer than any debrief I've had from a boss here. Keep up the good work and you might take over that Morris Dancing podcast one day.
That's the other one I was going to say, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. But yeah.
This is from Chloe8404. Capital letters, drinking down the mic sounds great, 3! Great podcast, excuse my language, but stop bloody gulping your drinks down the mic, ! Sounds as bloody awful as Max's jokes.
I don't drink, do I?
Oh. I don't know, I've got a coffee there, but I'll ease off it.
I've got water.
All right, so, just for the Facebook people, we predict the Premier League results each week and then we're in a competition, right, to see who does best. And we started this 6 games ago.
Yeah.
And I'm 4-2 up.
Well, we started it when you were 2-0 up.
And that was accidental.
That was accidental.
So last week, all right, I didn't get any exact scores.
No.
Okay. But I got correct results for Southampton, Man City, Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs and the Watford-Everton draw. 6.
Wow.
You got correct results for Bournemouth, Palace, Man City, Liverpool, Spurs and Southampton. 6 as well.
Yeah.
But
I got correct score.
You got 3-1 Southampton Newcastle. Yeah. Bang on. Giving you the slightest of wins.
Boom. No, win's a win. Don't worry about slight. Look at Leicester.
You're 4-3 up.
Winning 1-0 everywhere.
Business end of the season. And I am 4-3 up.
4-3.
Before we predict the Premier League games, quickly on midweek games, Man City into the Champions League semi-finals. How good an achievement was that?
Phenomenal. Phenomenal achievement, you know, to be in the last four. But then you're looking 15 points behind Leicester. Seriously.
They played like they did against PSG.
Well, they'd be 15 points in front of everybody else. So you've got to ask questions.
What are those questions? Why are the players not doing it? Kevin De Bruyne, is that an excuse of sorts? Because he's been injured.
When he plays, he is top draw.
He is. What do you think of the other semi-finalists? Real, Bayern, Atletico Madrid's. Barcelona over 2 legs is impressive for anyone.
Yeah, but I'd rather, if I had to pick a team to play, it'd be Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Because I just think they're the other two can blow you out of the water very quickly in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, they get on a run and score three goals, the other two. I think with Atletico Madrid, you will always be in the, in both legs. They're not a free-flowing scoring team. They're very hard to break down, but they don't score a lot of goals, so I'd want to be playing Atletico Madrid.
You made a good point in the office earlier about see what Atletico have done against Barcelona and why Arsenal couldn't do that.
Yeah, you know, yeah. The Atletico Madrid, player for player, nowhere near as good as Arsenal's team. Mm-hmm. And you look at the way they set up their team, and Barcelona could have still played now and they wouldn't have scored. And then you look at Arsenal go to West Ham and West Ham score three times. How's that work?
That's football.
That's not football, is it? It's being tactically acute and getting your team set up not to let in goals and to win football matches, and that's what Arsenal don't do.
Good win for Manchester United at West Ham. It was all scripted for West Ham to win that game, wasn't it?
I thought it was a great... I thought Man United were good. Yeah, I've watched a lot of West Ham highlights, you know, like Piatt's putting free kicks in the top corner and they're playing good football. I watched them yesterday, probably one of the only times I've watched, like, the whole game live, like... I couldn't believe how poor they were.
Really?
Bar the last 10 minutes.
Do you think the occasion got to them? Because they were favourites in that game.
Yeah, they were favourites. Credit where credit's due. I thought Man United played well. I felt sorry for Carroll a bit. He got a hat-trick a few days earlier and then they never got any crosses into the box, really. And when they were floated. But last 10 minutes, yeah, West Ham were good. But bar that, I was disappointed with them.
For the Facebook Live people, Liverpool-Dortmund tonight, big game.
Massive. Mm. Massive game.
They can do it as well. If they win that, they've got a real shot.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, I put them favourites then with Seville and Shakhtar. So, yeah, it's a massive football match. If they win, they're knocking out the favourites. And they're, what, three games away from Champions League football next season, which would be a phenomenal achievement. Hard game, extra time, penalties.
You reckon? And who's going through?
Liverpool.
You made an interesting point. Say Liverpool win the Europa League, right? Man City are in fifth. And the Champions League final is Man City versus Bayern Munich.
Yeah, what'd you do?
What does Pep do?
I don't know.
Put out the reserves.
Whatever happens, he can't go there next season and be playing Europa League football. It'd just be a waste of a year of his contract. You know, they brought him in to win the Champions League. And if Man City win it this year, wow.
Do you want to put it in the Premier League games?
Yeah.
Norwich v Sunderland.
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to coin a phrase, but big, 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 big football match.
Massive. Massive. I'm going to go for one reason, because my mate Jeff's a Sunderland fan. So I'm going to go 1-1 here.
OK.
But I think Sunderland have to win this game. Definitely not lose. If they lose... I think...
Gonzo.
I think, yeah, I'm afraid they would be. But I'm going to go 1-1 to...
Just for Jeff?
Just for my mate, Jeff.
Is he a close friend?
It's my mate, yeah.
Best friend?
No, he's not my best friend, you are.
Yes. I'm going to go... I'm going to give Norwich City a 1-0 win.
You're not Jeff's friend?
I'm not Jeff's friend.
No.
And I think Bamford will score, because I like Bamford. Got grade 7 violin.
Give a sub.
Yeah, but he'll come on.
Is that why he's got a grade 7 violin?
I think so, yeah. I read an interesting interview with him once.
I bet that was interesting, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah.
Talking about violins.
Have you ever played a musical instrument?
No.
Do you want me to come around and play you the jazz clarinet? Not a euphemism, but...
Yeah, come round Tuesday. Yeah, I won't be in, but come round.
Everton-Southampton.
What?
Everton v Southampton.
This is a game... with Martinez... This is a real, real difficult game.
He's under some pressure now, isn't he?
Yeah, but...
Their home record is so bad.
No, but they've got the semi-final next week,
yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Against Man United. They play at home to Southampton, mm-hmm. And then Wednesday night, they've got Liverpool away.
Got to
now,
play reserves
surely
in both.
He's got to play reserves in both, but yeah. If he loses both of them, he's got to show enough bottle to just rest everybody and take the flak off the fans and hopefully beat Man United. But if he doesn't, wow. I do feel sorry for him in these two games.
Just because of the timing?
Because of the timing. He's under pressure from the fans. And next week's game is massive for them.
What's the score going to be?
I honestly don't know, because I think if he shows enough bottle and he rests all of them, I think Southampton win.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he can rest them all.
Yeah, I need to press you.
I'm going to go 2-2. Good luck.
I go 2-1 in Southampton. Manchester United, Aston Villa.
Oh. Should we do...
3-0 Man United.
Yeah. If I was the owner of Aston Villa, I couldn't justify picking Villa.
OK.
I'm going to go 3-0 Man United.
OK. Newcastle, Swansea.
I don't know why I'm saying this, because I've watched Newcastle recently, and at the back, they are atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, atrocious. I'm going for them to win this game 2-1, to half keep their dream alive. They're playing after Norwich and Sunderland, so whatever that football result, they have to win this game.
1-0 Swansea for me. Sigurdsson, I love him. West Brom, Watford.
Watford are in a position where they can rest every player,
yeah,
lose 5-0,
yeah,
and still get clapped off. Because they've
that's the dream,
that,
isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, Everton can't. Martinez would have loved that, wouldn't, yeah, he? They can. They'll rest their. They've got to rest all their players. I'm going to go for a West Brom 2-0 win. I thought West Brom were good last week at Man City.
I go West Brom 2-1. Chelsea, Manchester City.
I mean, Man City are going to be under pressure because Man United would have already won. This, mm-hmm, is a Saturday night football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Chelsea. I think that would have took a lot out of them, that game. And you look at Man City's away form and take away the Bournemouth game, it's been pretty poor, and I'm going to go for Chelsea 2-1.
1-1. Sunday, Bournemouth-Liverpool.
I don't know, because if Liverpool beat Dortmund, they're three games away from Champions League
football.
So they
rest all their players.
Now, if they don't win that game, they need to win their last six or seven league games to have any chance. So,
should we come back tomorrow and predict it?
I'd rather predict it now than see you tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going 2-1 Liverpool. Thanks.
I like Bournemouth. And we might be playing golf with Matt Ritchie soon for the show. So yeah. I'm going to go 2-0 to Bournemouth.
Sorry,
Matt.
Matt.
He's not, he may be watching on Facebook now.
You don't have to crawl, though.
He doesn't have to download.
2-0. Is
he?
Seriously.
Yeah. Leicester West Ham.
If he's going to play, he's going to play. You don't have to. Yeah, you want to go a brace as well, Matt Ritchie.
Yeah. I'll give him two. Both volleys outside the box. Leicester, West Ham.
This was my banana skin, this was for Leicester, mm-hmm, this game. If you for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and people going, oh, it's over or whatever, I was thinking, it ain't over. This is the game, West Ham at home.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I couldn't believe how disappointing I was with West Ham yesterday. And I'm going to go for Leicester 2-1 here.
Leicester will win 1-0, because they always do, don't they? Arsenal, Crystal Palace.
Oh, Arsenal all day. Again, Crystal Palace can rest all their players. They've just beat Norwich. Got a big game next week, so they'll rest all their players. Walk in the park, 3-0 Arsenal, no pressure. Third again in the league. Unlucky.
2-0 Arsenal. Stoke, Spurs, Monday night.
I never go against Stoke. I don't go against Stoke. I think they're a good team. They're hard to beat at home. I've got to go Tottenham. I think they're a good team.
For that 6 minutes.
I'm going to go
3-1
for Tottenham.
I'll go 2-0 for Spurs. Okay. I think I copied you on most of those, didn't I?
That doesn't surprise me. You do. That's what you do. Pick for 5-5, about the same, and then just a couple of the odd goalie either way.
I'm thinking. 4-3 up. We'll do a Twitter Q&A. Just grinding out results now. We'll do a Twitter Q&A in a bit. Right now, it's a classic 1 to 11, not for you on Facebook, but for the people who download the podcast. It's a Northern Ireland special. Here is Neil Lennon's 1 to 11.
My formation will be a 3-5-2. Play with some great goalkeepers. That'd be Casey Keller, who was American number one at the time. But I'll have to go with Arthur Boric. Brilliant shot stopper and typical goalkeeper. He's absolutely mad as a bunch of frogs. He was typical Polish, hard-working, but liked his vodka now and again. Fantastic important saves at important times and games, and the one that sticks out for me is we're playing Man United here, and we're 1-0 up with 4 or 5 minutes to go. United get a penalty. Lee Saha steps up and Arthur saves it, and you always fancied him, you know, in those one-on-one situations. Okay, my back three, I played with some giants, you know, some big boys, big centre-halves. So my right hand centre-half would be Johan Mielby, who is my assistant here. Fantastic defender, very good in the air, comfortable on the ball, real competitor, hated losing. And me and him would be at each other's throats more or less every game. He was just a great competitor, but also a fantastic player. Inside of him would be Matt Elliott. Matty was an absolute giant, you know, but fantastic in the air again. They're probably the best ball-playing centre-half I've played with for a long time. When we were in trouble, Martin would stick him up centre-forward. He popped up with some crucial goals for us. He scored in the semi-final League Cup, he scored two in the League Cup final. And he could really play football, but first and foremost, he could defend. And you could trust him with the ball. So he would complement Johan very well. And the third one on the left would be Jos Valharen, Belgian international. He was just tremendously quick, tremendously brave. We were never worried about pace because we always fancied Jos in 1v1 situations or in a foot race. And he came as a relative unknown to Celtic and turned out to be, again, a real, real quickly developed into a hero with the supporters. So that's my back three, Mielby, Elliott and Valharen. Well, my midfield three, the way we always played, would be one sitting and two either side, right and left, who would break forward. So my holding player would be Paul Lambert, currently obviously manager of Villa. First British player to win the Champions League with Borussia Dortmund in 97. A lot of people thought that me and him would have been too similar to play with, but we quickly developed a very quick understanding. Made the game look easy, you know, and his experience was obviously fantastic for, even though we had an experienced team, he was a great captain. And it doesn't surprise me that he's gone on to have a fantastic career as a manager now as well. To the right of him would be Stylian Petrov. He's just having a really bad time at the minute, but we know he'll pull through because he's got great strength of character. But as a 19, 20-year-old, he was just a dynamic, all-round brilliant midfield player. And he's developed his career on, you know, he's, as most players do, but like myself, once you get that little bit older, you tend to not be able to do the box-to-box runs. Although a lot of people would have asked me, when did I ever do a box-to-box run anyway? But Stan developed his game to be more of a defensive-sided player towards the last few years at Villa there. But again, it came easy to him because he knew the game and great passer of the ball and fantastic competitor. And the other midfield player to the left would be Muzzy Izzet. Very skillful, quality player. You know, little will-o'-the-wisp type player. Could dribble, could ghost in, you know, late into the box. Could tackle, you know, could pass the ball. And again, tremendously fit player. So my midfield three would be Lambert, Petrov and Izzet. The wing-backs is a very difficult position to play. You know, some of the lads that I played, we used to call it the graveyard shift because they'd be up and down the line all day and have Martin barking in their ear, whatever side they were on. My right wing-back would be a player called Didier Gat. One of his best games I ever saw was to beat Juventus 4-3. He just went on these long bursting runs with the ball, which is so hard to do. But he had people hanging off him and he actually would run round. You know, these guys would try and cut him off and he'd actually run away from the ball right round to the byline and cross it. And his performance that night against, you know, top players was phenomenal. My left wing back would be Alan Thompson. You know, hammer of a left foot. And Martin would play him in that wing back role and again he would get the ball out of his feet and hit 40, 50 yard diagonal passes on a sixpence to people, or he could play, again, dribble. But what Alan was brilliant at was scoring goals in big games. Bayern Munich, he scored. Stuttgart, he scored huge goals against Rangers as well. His record against Rangers was magnificent from midfield. So my two wing-backs are Gat and Thompson. I played with some fantastic strikers, John Hartson, Jan Venegar, Hesselink. I'm not putting Jan in because it would take too long to write his name out. So my top two would be Chris Sutton and Henrik Larsson. The two of them sort of dovetailed very well. And then Chris, laterally, he could play midfield, he could play centre-half. So, you know, he'd all-round great football and brain, but then as a centre-forward, he was magnificent to play with. And Henrik is Henrik. You know, he's probably the best, well, he is the best player I've played with. Could score any kind of goal. But the most important thing about Henrik was, even though he scored a large volume of goals, he scored the goals. When you really needed a goal, an important goal or crucial times in the games, you know, 9 times out of 10 Henrik would appear and score a goal out of nowhere. My front two would be Sutton and Larson, a pairing that would grace most teams in the world. So that's my team, and I think it would be, you know, a pretty good team at its peak. Take some beating, put it that way.
That was Neil Lennon's 1-11. Here is a Twitter Q&A. Right, we start with this from Mr. Chow. Who's your favourite David?
Beckham.
Ginola or Hasselhoff for me. Ryan says, Max, why were you sacked from Soccer AM? I'd like to say I was promoted, that's how I call it.
We'll go with it.
I just wanted to work with Paul Merson. Adam says, 7-a-side or 5-a-side?
Where is it? Where are we playing?
Well, I think 5-a-side pitch or a 7-a-side pitch.
Yeah, I know. They're both as hard as each other because the ball never goes out of play. It's just constant, isn't it? Mm. Both of them are much harder than 11.
I'll go 7. But 11 is the perfect.
It's the pinnacle, yeah. Isn't it?
Paris says, what is Merce's favourite meal deal combo from Tesco's?
No. Marks. I like Marks.
Are you a Marks guy?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm all Waitrose. There you go. Still a man of the people, though. You know. James, how far will Leicester go in the Champions League next year?
Depends if they get Shakhtar Donetsk or someone like that. They'll go a long way. Like, how many miles is that? Oh, do you mean like...
Come on, nurse.
Ain't getting through the group.
No. Jonathan Greenwood said, would you rather not have fingernails or eyebrows?
I need fingernails because I pick them all the time.
If you didn't
but
have
I
them,
never
you,
pick my eyebrows.
You wouldn't have that problem if they
were. Yeah, I know, but there's no enjoyment in picking your eyebrows, is there? At least your nails is a little bit more enjoyable.
But, you see, you could wear your... Yeah, if you wore your glasses all the time as well, you know, they're quite...
Yeah, but I could wear gloves if...
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to wear gloves. Then people think you're a murderer, don't they? You wear them. Matthew says, would Mourinho and Zlatan win Manchester United the Premier League next season?
No, they need more. Mourinho would give them more of a chance than Zlatan would, definitely. But they still need more players.
Martin Williams says, apricot jam or marmalade? # difficult decisions.
That is the same, isn't it?
I know, marmalade's orange. Oranges, not apricots.
Yeah. And what's the other one?
Apricot jam.
Yeah, well, I like apricot.
I would pick marmalade, personally.
Didn't ask you? Did I ask you?
Well, it was a question to both of you.
It didn't specify that. Sorry.
Yeah. Ian says, have you ever shared a burrito or any other Mexican-based snack with Ian Wone or Steve Chettle?
Probably going to go with no there. I have been on tour with them before, so you? I don't know if I've been on tour.
Ivan Klasnich cooked me fajitas once.
Yeah?
Yeah. But he used the old El Paso cooking, it wasn't like... Sherlock says, would you like to have a pork pie named after you?
Not really.
No. Andy says, what is the greatest biscuit of all time?
Have you got a cup of tea or no tea? No, if you've got a cup of tea,
it's a digestive,
I mean, like, it's a little finger one that you dip in. You put four of them together and then you dip them in.
Oh, I like a custard cream.
But you always have to have a spoon just in case.
Yeah, or you don't want the biscuit to fall in. Well, you've got to be tactical about how long you keep it.
Yeah,
in the tea,
that's why you've got to have four. Cause you can, like,
yeah, that's true. So what are you saying?
I'm probably going to go with the rich tea fingers. Like, if you've got a cup
covered
of tea.
Covered in chocolate?
No, chocolate.
Okay, sorry.
Actually, if you've got a cup of tea there and a spoon... But if you haven't got any of them, then I'm going to go for a jammy dodger.
OK, fine. Have you ever been to Sinsel Bank?
That is...
Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah, I've played there.
I saw us beat them 3-1. Carlo Corazin scored. Great day.
I remember that.
Canadian. Mm. Alex says, how was it when you borrowed Trevor Nelson's microwave? I borrowed Trevor Nelson's microwave once. Great times. Christmas Day. Auntie Gay brought round a Christmas pudding and I didn't have a microwave. What was I meant to do? Rang Trevor, lives next door, and there he had, spare microwave.
What is happening with me?
Daniel says, will Aston Villa get back to the Premiership at the first attempt? Premier League, Daniel, come on.
Depends who the manager is.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can get a Mick McCarthy or Nigel Pearson. I think some the managers that know that league have got to get players to get you out of that league.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got a chance. If they get the wrong manager in, they could drop again.
Ali says, favourite cooking utensil to use? You love a whisk, don't you?
No.
Spatula? Fish slice?
No, what's happening?
Jed asks a question. What? Not sure how polite this is to me. Says, why did you ruin Soccer AM?
Now we're livening up. Now he's getting interested. Now he's interested.
A couple of years in, I just had enough. Jed, you know, I just thought I'd kill it from within and then jump off.
And do the same for fantasy.
You got six more years, though. It's all right. It's a slow burn. Kieran says, what's your favourite video game of all time?
Space Invaders Atari. Probably wasn't born at that time.
Sensible Soccer or maybe Treasure Island.
Yeah, definitely Atari.
And Owen O'Sullivan says, what happened, Merce, to your tooth after it fell out? Did you bin it, refit it?
No.
I don't know if Frankie was doing the show then. The floor manager, Frankie. Someone put it in some milk for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I took it to the dentist on the Monday and he went, what are you doing? I went, what do you mean? He went, it's plastic. What are you putting that in there for? Because it was already a false one. Do you know what I mean?
Just one final one from James who says, for Merce, marry, spoon and slap between these three, OK? So you've got the marry one, spoon with one and slap one. Max Rushton, Jeff Stelling, Harry Redknapp.
Marry Harry, spoon Jeff and slap you.
It's not very nice, is it? I can take it.
I was thinking of worse, but...
Yeah, OK.
The questions, then, seriously.
Well, you know, this is just what happens, isn't it? OK, right. We'll leave you with a Michael O'Neill 1 to 11. OK. He is the guest on the show. Do you want to know when we're on?
Please.
OK. Friday, 6 p.m, Sky Sports 1. Friday, 9:40 p.m, Sky Sports 5. Saturday, 1 a.m, Sky Sports 1.
Getting in
from the club.
Yeah.
Or if you're at a drum and bass, you can watch us at 3 a.m, Sky Sports 1.
And then you're coming in.
And as always...
Eating a kebab, watching.
As always... we are on the Dreamtime Saturday morning, 9 a.m, which is the warm-up for the excellent Soccer AM,
which is
always what we wanted to do, isn't it?
Now,
yeah,
the excellent Soccer AM.
Now, yeah,
yeah.
I never miss it.
Because you ruined it, didn't you?
Well, I did ruin it. There's some Facebook people have come on. People have asked these questions. We should. Sir Hale says, do Man City have a chance of winning the Champions League? Be quick on these.
Yeah.
Aidan says, not one of the managers in the top six is English. He actually wrote, not one of the managers in the top six is six. Is this an issue for English football? Look, if it was a six-year-old, I think it's not an issue.
Yeah.
But if he means they're not English, is that an issue?
I didn't look at it like that, but maybe.
Glenn Simmons, who shows more character, Max Rushton or Jeff Stelling?
I don't believe you are. Surely you must read that in your head and know the answer and then think, I'm not going to ask that. Do you know what I mean? That's like me reading it and going, Paul Merson, who's the best looking, you or Brad Pitt? I wouldn't read it. I just go,
Are you saying that Jeff Stelling has so much more character than me that it's comparable with how much better looking Brad Pitt is than you?
Yeah.
Callum says, do you think Leicester will win the league or bottle it?
It's a twist.
James says, is Arsene Wenger past it?
Yeah.
John says, what do you think of Rashford potentially going to the Euros?
So, people were talking about Andy Carroll last week because he got 3 goals. No, I think Rashford's a very good player. He's a young player, but there's players that have done more than him this season that deserve to go.
James says, where are Newcastle going wrong? We don't have time. Anna says, are you... Oh, I can't read that out. Craig says, will Norwich stay up?
More than likely.
Lee says, hi, Merce. Can you say hi?
To who?
To Lee Oxley.
Hi, Lee Oxley.
David says, Paul, do you think Walsall will get promotion?
Big result in midweek against Gillingham. They were just falling off a little bit. They've got a good chance in the playoffs, I think it'll be.
Anna says, who are you?
Who, me or you?
Well, I don't know, it doesn't say to either of us.
This is
Paul Merson, played for Arsenal, Middlesbrough, Villa, England. I'm Max.
ruined Sakuraya. She'll go, oh,
that's the one I knew.
I knew him.
Do you know, sometimes I, after football, on a Saturday, I play in the shower, and some bloke looks at me and goes, you look like that guy Max. I go, yeah, I look like him. He is a right... I get that all the time. He's a right... And they go, yeah, he is, isn't he? I go, oh. Hassan said, where do you see Jose next season?
United.
Perry says, do you like wrestling?
Not really.
Ben Morris says, how are you, Merce?
I'm good.
Owen, out of 10, how good is Kane?
9, at least.
Perry, do you like wrestling? Again, he really wants to answer this question. Yeah. We've already
I used to like it. My older boys were older, like, were younger, we used to go and watch the wrestling.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I like Rowdy Roddy Piper. Who's going through tonight, Liverpool or Bayern? Borussia Dortmund, sorry.
Yeah. You have no clue about football.
Shh, getting away with it.
I'll get Liverpool on penalties.
Will Spurs take the title, says Luke.
Still got a chance.
Sardar says, is Conte going to win the Premier League for Chelsea?
No, I think he's got a lot of work to be done there.
Craig says, show us your socks. Your spotty one,
yeah,
green. I mean,
and
literally,
he's got his school ones on still.
This could go on. This could go on forever.
That means people are watching.
Yeah, yeah. We've got right now, 10,000 people are watching it. What are you doing? Like, seriously, surely you've got something better to do. Anyway, we've got.
The whole idea is for people to watch it.
No, I know that, but it's good for
people.
So like,
don't disrespect people by saying what you're watching it for, because we want them to be watching.
It's a sunny day. You know, go out, enjoy the sunshine, speak to people face to face. This is what's wrong with our country, isn't it? Did you have a nice time, Merce?
Yeah.
Do you promise?
Yeah, no, good.
Here is Michael O'Neill's 1 to 11. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you for watching. Thank you.
Thank you, Facebook people. Cheers. Michael, time for your 1 to 11. How difficult was it?
Yeah, it was quite difficult, actually. It's something that I've never done before, actually, and I suppose you're always conscious of, like, you know, how often did you play with some of these players? Like, I have a couple of people in there that I was on the bench quite a bit, so I watched them rather than played with them more often.
Gary Mabber put Pele in.
Yeah.
He played, and he only played for 2 minutes.
So, and he was 78.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it was good. So we'll give it a go, yeah. So in goal, Jim Leighton. I played with Jim at Hibernian and also briefly at Aberdeen. First of all, he's a fantastic goalkeeper, but when he came to Hibs, the Manchester United, he'd left Manchester United, he'd actually gone to Dundee and it hadn't gone particularly well for him. But when he came to Hibs and he was, you know, well into his 30s, then he re-established himself as a top-class goalkeeper, as Scotland's number one, and he actually played in France 98 ahead of Andy Gorham, I think, at the time. So, I mean, it was just great, like, how he resurrected his career, and he did that at Hibs and he was fantastic for us.
Right back?
Right back, Roland Nielsen. Again, I was at Coventry with Roland, a player that I watched a lot, given that I was on the bench a lot within my period there. But he was just a Rolls Royce of a player. You know, he was unflappable. Look, he looks like something out of Dynasty there, doesn't he, as well? he had a Blake Carrington look about him, so I had. But, you know, fantastic athlete, great defender, and, you know, he was such a... He's an amazing professional as well, and a good guy.
Left back,
Maurice Malpas. Again, a player I played with at Dundee United. Unflappable. In the whole time I played, often I had to play in front of Maurice on the left-hand side. But in the whole time, I never saw Maurice get a doing as a fullback. Mm. And he played against Hullet. He played against some amazing players for Scotland and also for Dundee United. But he was just positionally outstanding. Wasn't blessed with great pace, but positionally fantastic. And again, just a top-class defender. Mm.
Two
centre-halves,
mate?
Two centre-halves. I'm going to go for another Dundee United player, David Neary, who was a Scotland legend as well. Scored that amazing goal against Brazil.
Wound them up,
yeah. got them upset. But again, a really top-class defender. A defender that actually probably would be really suited to the modern game, because he wasn't a physical defender. He was like, he could intercept, he could read the game. Positionally, he was great, and he was so relaxed, he was so chilled. And again, you know, a top class player. And alongside him, Mal Donaghy, who I played with at Northern Ireland. First Northern Ireland player in there. 93 caps for Northern Ireland. You know, a great career at Luton. Then to Manchester United and Chelsea, you know, when he was in his 30s when he played there. And I'm playing him at centre-half. He could have played at left-back, centre-back, or he actually even could have played as a holding midfield player. But again, you know, a player who was so calm, so cool under pressure, and a brilliant one-on-one defender.
What formation are you playing?
I'm going to go 4-3-3 / 4-5-1. So in my midfield, as a holding midfield player, another Northern Ireland player, Norman Whiteside.
Yeah.
What a player.
What a player. What a
player. Who was... when I came into the Northern Ireland team, you know, I think Norman was only about 22, 23, but he'd already had two World Cups under his belt. He'd scored in cup finals, he'd done everything. But he was just a player that, not only his physical presence, but his vision was phenomenal. He could score a goal. He was just an all-round player. And I think it's funny when people who played with Norman, particularly at Manchester United, you know, they just, you know, always salivate over what a great player he was. Yeah. He was just a top footballer, really, you know, and
top lad as well.
Great lad. It was a young player coming in. It was great to play alongside him. On the right hand side of that midfield, I'm going to go for Gary McAllister.
Yeah, player.
A fantastic player. Again. A fantastic trainer as well, but Gary was such a technician, you know, a great striker of the ball, you know, great leader as well on the pitch, took an awful lot of responsibility, and I think I've left a nail out there, have I? So there, put it in properly. But I mean, the great thing about Gary as well was that he went on, you know, after he left Coventry. I mean, the career he had at Liverpool was amazing, you know what I mean?
And it was crucial for them.
Well, he won the treble, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a fantastic player, and a player that really, you know, could play, you know, with the top players in the game, and a great career he had as
Big
well.
Fan
on the right-hand side of midfield, Gazza.
Yeah.
There's no way, as you know, Marce, that he would have played on the right-hand side. He'd been all over the pitch, you know. But, again, you know, as I talked about, with Gazza, you know, I only played with him for a season at Newcastle, and it was a fantastic experience. And in many ways, I always feel I saw the best of him, you know, because it was just all about the football. You look at the picture of him there, like, and some of the things he did, the responsibility he took for a Geordie boy playing in front of a demanding Newcastle crowd, some of the goals he scored. You know, as I say, the rest is history. We know what a magnificent player he was.
In training, was he?
Fabulous trainer, right. And he used to, after training, he would have me out. He'd have like shooting competitions and bending competitions and doing all this. And then if you beat him, then he would want to wrestle you. He would be fighting you on the training pitch and everything. And he used to come, he used to terrorise me. I was only 17. He used to come on a Friday night and there'd be a knock at my room door. And next thing, Gazza would burst in with two or three of the ones who were just a bit older than me, ransack my room, you know what I mean? Basically put me up against the wall, push the bed up against the wall, everything like so. It wasn't your ideal pre-game preparation, but no, fantastic lad and a great player.
Really?
I'm going to go for, in the front three, in the wide areas, I'm going to go for two Northern Ireland wingers. Difficult decision this because I got 31 caps and I think I would have got more if these two hadn't came along, to be honest. So on the right hand side, Keith Gillespie. And Keith came into the team, you know, very young, 19, 20 years of age, and immediate impact. He scored an amazing goal away in Austria. But what I liked about Keith was that, you know, he always was there for Northern Ireland. He played like over 80 times. You know, I think he was always a handful, his work rate. And, you know, when he came in, he was solely, like, it was pace, pace, pace. But his game developed so much that, you know, he had a great career. And he was a fantastic Northern Ireland player.
Yeah.
On the right-hand side, Michael Hughes. And I actually played, Michael Hughes and I went to the same school, actually. So we actually played in the same school team as well as internationally as well.
Wow.
But he was, for me, Michael Hughes was one of the most talented Northern Ireland players that we've ever produced. He probably didn't score enough goals if I'm honest. You know, that was the one thing. But he had the technical ability to play right at the top level of the game, I think. And, you know, he had a good, great career in the Premier League with various clubs. But, again, a player that, you know, played over 70 times for Northern Ireland. Yeah.
So this centre-forward's going to get a lot of service?
He's going to, yeah. So we've gone for two wingers, obviously. We're looking at crosses and... Who better to deal with crosses than Big Dunk? So Duncan Ferguson as the centre forward. So, and I'll just put him in as Dunk.
Yeah.
Is, is the best way to describe him. Again at Dundee United, Duncan came into the team very young, came in about 18, 19, and he was unplayable. At that time, playing against like really good centre backs, the likes of, you know, Richard Gough, Paul Elliott at Celtic, and he was just, he was phenomenal, you know. And he had a lot of injuries throughout his career, but when you come into the team as a young player like that, you've so much to prove, and you know, everything. He was also great, you know. He was a great finisher on his left hand side. He was a really gifted left sided player, which people maybe don't realise that he had a great technique. But again, you know, in terms of when the ball went in the box, you know, he made sure that he was going to win it. And as I say, a great lad as well.
Off the pitch?
Off the pitch, yeah. Well, we had some fun nights out, I have to say. We had a young squad at Dundee United at the time, and Dunk was he was a big part of that. But I bought my first house in Dundee, and he came down to visit me. And he tried to persuade me to, first of all, let him keep a greyhound there, and then secondly he wanted to know if I would let him put a pigeon duke in the back garden as well, both of which I refused, you know what I mean. I was house proud, think this is going to be my first house. But at that time Jim McLean, it was a very strict regime at Dundee United, and you had to live within 11 miles, it was in your contract, you had to live within 11 miles radius of Dundee. So the guys were always up, and they were in digs and with landladies. So we spent a lot of time together. It fostered a really great team spirit. But it was such a strict regime under McLean as well that we kind of almost like... It bound us together, you know. Our feelings for the manager were so terrible at times. The players subsequently bonded around that. But again, you know, the stories come back about that. God, there's many a story. But as I say... you know, Dunk was a top lad and a top player.
Who's your skipper?
Skipper's tough. Well, I'm thinking in that who actually was a captain. Malpas was a captain, Mal was a captain, but Gary McAllister would be the captain, because I think he was a great captain and also a great captain for Scotland as well.
Michael O'Neill's 1-11, everybody.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football FC.
For other podcasts you might enjoy, head to skysports.com/podcast.